Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Night Shadows. I'm Stuart Best, where the paranormal is normal, where that which you thought you knew, you didn't, and where the future can be known if you know exactly where to look.
Well, welcome everybody to tonight's Night Shadows, and we have an update. Actually, we're going to be on for about an hour, I guess. There's a lot of news out there, and Larry's with us, who constantly is updating everyone on what's going on. Hi, Larry. How are you doing tonight?
Hello, Stuart. Hanging in there. Cooler weather here, so it feels better.
Well, that's good. Well, we are heading towards fall, perhaps. with the erratic weather, who knows what's coming next? You guys might get 5 feet of snow. And we'll be basking in 90-degree temperatures up here, so you just don't know.
Well, that's right.
Why don't we start with this? Yeah, go ahead.
I was just going to mention, I didn't know if you'd noted it yet, but some of the astronomical websites or astronomy websites are reporting that Friday night they're expecting what they call a dark moon, which is really, really strange and doesn't come along very often.
Well, you know what's interesting about that is we had a ring of fire eclipse on the 1st of September, and now we're closing out September with this black moon or dark moon, whatever phraseology, and I guess it's got some people who pay attention to these kind of things a little upset over what this all means. But I would think that it is another sign from the Lord. And we also, you know, have had other signs as well. We just got done with this four eclipses, all on feast days, all bookending from Passover all the way through. So I think the Lord's trying to tell everybody something, but very few people evidently are listening. But have you got any more information on that? As far as I understand it, we won't get to see anything, though. Is that right?
That's what I'm understanding, though they're just basically making it noteworthy. And you're right. It's been incredible this last year or two. The signs in the heavens, if we want to call them that, have been extensive. I mean, absolutely extensive.
I've always thought that the Book of Revelation is basically astronomical, not astrological, but astronomical, biblical signs. He said right there in Genesis, the moon, the stars, the sun are all for our seasons and signs. So to have those four lunar eclipses bookmark the Lord's feast days both times is a kind of a verily, verily to the nation of Israel and to the Christians. You better get ready because something is coming. Here's the headline on this. Friday's black moon could bring with it worldwide destruction and the second coming of Jesus Christ, Christians and conspiracy theorists have claimed. So What do you make of that? Go ahead.
I was just going to mention, Stuart, and get your comment on this, talking about signs. I guess you saw the headline today that Israel's former president, Shimon Peres, had passed away from a stroke that occurred a few days ago at 93 years old, and what I read on him was very interesting, and Netanyahu even spoke about it, talking about signs. Perez, which means, the name Perez means division, actually, and what's interesting there is the fact that Perez is the last of the founding heads of the state of Israel. He was the last. That's it. There's no more alive. He was the last one. And, of course, all Israel's mourning the life of, the loss of Shimon Peres. And I believe they're saying that this Friday, this coming Friday, I'm not sure the exact date particularly or the times at all, but there are going to be a lot of world leaders in Israel for the funeral. So, you know, and this does come at a very striking time in the Middle East.
Yeah, and to have a black moon on the same day and all the leaders converging upon Israel, it's almost like the world leaders are converging to bury Israel, the old Israel. And, of course, we know from prophecy they got to go through the time of Jacob's trouble, which cannot be very far off as far as I can see. But it is interesting that we're getting all these signs, and then we have a major impact event that it goes totally unreported. What's the deal on that?
Yeah, that's really interesting. I've been watching the I can't remember exactly what you call it. It, you know, NOAA and space weather both carry these impact, not impact, but close call events with asteroids and space objects, basically, I guess was what you would call them. And they're now, because of this sudden, and I repeat that term, sudden impact event off Australia in the ocean there, offshore, and it is reported, and you've got the article, I think, or the report, that a lot of people felt it in a lot of locations. And it basically was unreported, and now they're saying, how accurate is this space object search? And are we really protected, or are we really even being warned?
Well, actually, I don't think we probably would be. I mean, how do I word this? The defense of the United States, they said that if they detected a nuclear launch, say from Russia, China, North Korea, doesn't matter who it is, they would not warn the American people. And I think the basis of that is because more people would attempt to evacuate. You would have tremendous problems on the road, and they felt that people might be better off just staying put, staying in their homes, going in their basements. You might survive it. So if they have that attitude towards a nuclear war, would they give any signal of an impact event if they actually had no idea when it was coming and it shows up on the radar and they only have hours to do anything? Probably not, right? Would that be your take?
Well, I kind of defer to movies right there, the movie Deep Impact. Remember the president and the leadership, you know, they basically had hidden this ELE, an ELE event, and a reporter dug it out. And remember the president said to, I guess his advisor, he said, when the advisor said, what are we going to do? And he said, well, you know, we're not going to be able to keep this secret as long as I thought we might be. You know. So but it might be accurate.
It may be. And they did have some time, but not very much. But I'm just wondering, you know, it seems like we're having an increase of fireballs. Now we have this actual impact event in the ocean. Did they say anything about a tsunami at all? Or was it too small to cause anything?
I don't think there was a tsunami. If there was, it probably didn't make notice. I couldn't really find any data on the event similar to earthquake or tsunami reporting, so they may not even covered it, you know, and there wasn't enough of a rise in any small way to cause problems to note it, I suppose. Now, I know Australia kept, you know, they were aware of it after the fact, but... you know, it just shows us there does seem to be lots of incoming lately, and I'll just use that term loosely, incoming. Kind of like a shooting gallery.
Yeah. Well, that brings us up to the Planet X syndrome, the brown dwarf twin binary star system that we all live in and nobody wants to admit. Now, this system is big, as far as I can understand. I mean, it's in the entire system is actually invading our solar system, and I don't think people realize how many thousands upon thousands upon thousands of miles wide this whole thing is. Millions of miles, probably. And it's coming into our solar system, and it's bringing with it, as I understand it, you can correct me if I'm wrong, a whole entourage of planetoids, planets, moons, whatever you want to call them, comets, meteors, or, you know, that sort of thing, space garbage, whatever, however you want to call it. Is this, do you think, part of what we're going to be seeing from now on? I know the Bible talks about at least two, and I think probably a lot more, impact events, actually. What's your take there? That could this be part of this arrival?
Well, it certainly could, because the fact that if you just look at it as it's been presented, and if you read the Colbrin and a lot of the ancient writings and reports, it sounds like, astronomically, that our solar system is basically invaded by another complete solar system, which is the other binary, you know, the other side of the binary star system, and it comes through ours. And so you've got basically two solar systems moving through each other, and who moves? I mean, well, you know, you hope there's not a, you know, if one thing hits anything, that moves things around. And so it's a very delicate balance there. And, you know, I certainly am glad the Lord's got everything in hand, basically. But at the same time, I can see with all of this going on, Jesus's words, all these things, and you look at the scenarios, and it's easy to see how Revelation wouldn't be that difficult.
Yeah, I don't think that people really realize that the book of Revelation is an astronomical book, basically, and the things that go on in the heavens have a spiritual connotation to them. So the great red dragon is not only Satan and his minions, but it is also a physical object. And that's most likely the destroyer from the description given in the book of Revelation chapter 12. You took a picture here the other day, and if you look closely at that, and I got it on the lightgateblogger.com, I posted it up there, you can see a round object that appears to be hidden by chemtrails. What?
I'll tell you what. That's absolutely shocking. And when I actually looked up, it was by accident, I actually looked out my window to the south and saw that. Mm-hmm. Well, what drew my attention first was I caught out of my corner of my eye that rainbow-colored imagery there that, you know, and I called it anomaly because I simply don't know what it is. I looked out there, and the almost semi-transparent globe or round object that I saw, you could see it a little better, but I had to go get my camera, and by the time I got back out and took the picture, it began to fade a little. Apparently, it caught the light just right. In other words, our sun was going down. There was a lot of chemtrails, as you can tell well in the photograph, and this object was involved in the chemtrail. I do believe that they're using the chemtrails as a cloak. You know, I know there's other reasons probably we have the chemtrails, but I think they're cloaking a portion of the sky for the one reason that I took the picture, because you're not supposed to see anything there like I saw. Now, you know, we've seen YouTube and a lot of things in the sky, and we don't know what they are, and we don't know how much of disinformation. And I'm not telling anybody to believe any of this. Matter of fact, I actually included a post today on the blog. You know, is it real or is it Memorex? Is it Project Bluebeam? I mean, I don't have a clue, but I know what I saw, and I got a pretty fair image, if you look closely, of something that was there, an anomaly, I called it. And, you know, I got to thinking, Stuart, because off to the right of that, behind some of the chemtrails, too, was our sun, who was much, much brighter than this object. Now, how far away was this object? I don't know. I know it was smaller. If I looked at the sun was bigger than this object. And what is it?
Yes.
I still can't tell people, but I have to say that it's something I've never seen before.
Well, it you're right. It may have just been illuminated briefly by the sun in its position, and then it faded away. There have been other reports. There was a report that came out of Canada that was very, very interesting. Somebody had gotten up, evidently, get coffee, whatever, but they were up in the middle of the night, and they looked out the window, and they saw this red ball, kind of like a moon, going by horizon to horizon. And I read that about, I don't know, maybe 3, 4, 5, 6 months ago. I don't keep track of time anymore. It goes by so fast. But it was interesting to me that that wasn't the only person who saw an object like that. I've gotten other reports where they're seeing kind of a reddish ball, and this is in the northern hemisphere, in the northern part, so this would be latitude 40 or above, that are reporting sometimes in the night these things going by. So it makes you wonder, are they, is this part of the entourage? Are these the moons that people are seeing? Is this Project Bluebeam to get people acclimated? I'm very, very suspicious. A lot of this stuff is, in fact, Project Bluebeam. What have you heard down your way about stuff like that, anomalous?
Not a lot, ironically. It's very interesting. I mean, you know, and this is what's interesting, Stuart, to talk about the human mindset. I don't even hear people talking about chemtrails, even though I talk about them a lot. Nobody else seems to around me, so I'm not even sure anybody looks up, you know?
I don't think they do. I don't think people do look up. I mean, I really don't.
Maybe that's why the Bible says look up.
Well, wasn't it Malachi Martin who said watch the skies?
That's right.
Because he knew something was coming in.
Yeah.
And yet people don't. So, I don't know. I mean, it's just weird. And with the approach of the destroyer, I think we're going to see a lot more of this kind of stuff. And I think we're going to see a lot more little impact events and maybe a major one here, not too distant future. When you look at the seal judgments and the trumpet judgments and the bowl judgments, and you remember the impact event on Jupiter? I always thought that was a major warning, the comet Shoemaker-Levy, or Levy-Shoemaker, whatever they called it.
Shoemaker-Levy 9, wasn't it?
Yes, that's right. And it was 21 impacts on Jupiter. Well, just so happens there are 21 judgments in the book of Revelation. So I thought, well, you know, the Lord's warning us, 21 judgments are on the way. They're coming if you don't repent. And this nation hasn't repented at all.
No.
So where do you want to go from here? That object on your photo, if you look carefully, you can see it just as plain as day.
Yeah.
But you got to look for it.
It's very apparent, and you know, it was just apparently the light from the waning sun gave it away, basically, in the chemtrails there, and the chemtrails appeared to be just covering it, basically, And I just happened to look out the window at the right time to see it, and I was looking at the rainbow of the chemtrails, and then I saw it very clearly. My eyes focused on it, and I thought, "Oh my Lord, that's an orb looking thing, a globe looking thing, like a lot of people said in YouTube that they've seen in the sky." And I've heard about it, but I have never seen it myself. And I'm looking right at it, and like I say, it was it was basically semi-transparent. And by the time I got my camera, which is like 2 minutes at the maximum, and got back and took a couple of photographs, it was already waning because of the light. So whatever this is that people are taking pictures of, the light has to be just almost perfect to give it away even.
Yeah. Did you get that UFO picture I sent you?
I waited a little while after I did some posting, and I didn't get it yet, but I'll keep looking for it.
Okay, if you don't get it, we'll send it again. I'm having all kinds of trouble with email up here. There's so many glitches going on now that it's a wonder any of it is working. And that's another thing we might want to talk about is the UN. As I understand it, Obama is handing over control now to the United Nations. Is it the UN that's taking over the Internet? I mean, that means the death of the Internet as we know it.
Yeah, the Internet as we know it will basically be over, and it'll be a private group that actually heads it up. And what would you want to bet that private group is funded by the rich men? And what's interesting, though, I wanted to ask you a question, Stuart, today.
Yeah.
They actually, after Obama had vetoed that 911 bill and the Saudi bill or whatever, they again went in and have passed it and actually beat Obama. And I'm looking, and, you know, we talked about signs earlier, signs of things, and I began to wonder to myself, this apparently is the very first time that Obama has been beaten, I mean literally beaten, by one of the other entities of government. And I'm thinking now, is this a little fresh blood in the water? Will Congress now begin to actually act or move against him? And, well, maybe not. But what's your opinion, Stuart? Because this is really timely. This is the first time Obama has lost basically anything.
Well, the first thing I would say to that is ruler against ruler, which we're seeing more and more. We watched some of this with the Trump-Hillary debate, which was so one-sided, with the moderator actually taking part of the debate himself. We're gonna watch more and more. The book of Isaiah, I think, is very, very clear in chapter 47, that government begins to break down. It can't function properly. We got so many special interests and so much corruption that the government just starts to basically, I guess, fall apart. I think what we're watching here, I was reading an article here by Dave Hodges, elimination of the independent media has started with the banning of Michael Savage. Savage Nation. We saw a little bit of it here on Blog Talk Radio. We see it on YouTube. They just bump anything they don't happen to like. So what we're watching is the rise, and I think it's the death whale. That's the way I refer to it. This is the rich men of the earth rising up, but it's actually they're dying. It's like a person on a deathbed that suddenly rallies and then quickly perishes. And I think that's what we're watching. These guys are rising up. They're losing control. They don't know what to do about it. Yeah, go ahead.
And Stuart, the interesting thing is, as you and I have talked before, they are so committed now, so exposed now, there's no backing out. There's no, like, King's X let's delay or let's put it off 10 more years. I mean, they're into the game so far now, they cannot get out. And I'll tell you what, even Fox News today was warning the people that they said Trump literally is the last hope of America, and if he loses, America is gone. And they said it'll be overnight. And this is critical. I mean, absolutely critical. Matter of fact, Lou Dobbs said something that made me snicker today. He was talking about how the FBI had give a free ride to Hillary and all of her minions, I'll put it that way, and how
yes.
that the Clinton cartel literally ran this part of the world. And anyway, Lou Dobbs ended that with saying, well, just look at Washington, D.C. Doesn't it make you proud?
Yeah. Well, I had a friend of mine who worked in Washington. I think he was a senator aide or something like that in his younger years, and a Christian man who was, not a sensitive, but almost like that. He could almost see into that other realm.
Yeah.
And he told me that Washington was absolutely loaded with demonic activity everywhere. They've taken over. And Satan runs this nation. Now, and like you said, long time ago, when we invaded Iraq, we probably also inherited the Prince of Persia, who now probably rules us.
It's, isn't it interesting, Stuart? Those that really are talking about how bad it got, they say that it was bad, but it wasn't this bad. The deception wasn't this deep until Bush went into Iraq, and everything seemed to change, and the entire government went completely non-transparent. In other words, could I use the term, the government went dark? That'll kind of go along with black projects. I mean, isn't it interesting that they use that terminology?
Yes. It's like the police and all that, Homeland Security, they use black vehicles. It's supposed to be an authoritative but very, intimidating color. And like the black boots that stomp on the face forever, George Orwell's 1984, if you want to know the future of the human race. And it's odd to me that the people let all of this happen and there's very little done about it. So, yes, it's a very big surprise that you had the House and the Senate veto Obama. And that may be the beginning of something. They're watching Trump. And everything Trump has said, I don't care if people like him or not, this guy is a capitalist. He knows how the system works. He knows all these people personally. He knows the corruption. He's got to know it. There's no way he doesn't know it.
Yeah,
and
I think you're
on
exactly
the debate,
right.
Yeah, he was trying to warn the people.
I think we got a warning.
Yeah, go ahead.
I was just saying what you said just there, very, very important. I think that Trump established, because he repeated it more than once, he established a warning. And one of the warnings that Trump gave during that, and I don't believe it was just an anomaly. I don't believe it was just by accident. I think Trump was literally warning the American people about a financial bubble and the end, basically, of our way of existence. in a possible financial collapse or change of the paradigm shift of finances in the whole world. I think that he was warning during that period of time in that debate.
Well, he's always said from time to time, not always, but from time to time, you'll hear him say, we are pretty much out of time. We have very little time. He keeps referring to the clock, to a coming date. It's almost like he knows they can do whatever they want financially and bring down the America financially. All they have to do is pull the plug on the derivatives and we could be collapsed overnight. Speaking about that, have you heard any You know, I ask for people to email and listen very, very carefully Friday afternoon to see if there's any announcement from the International Monetary Fund, the IMF, on Lagarde's comment about a reset. And I, the more I thought about that reset, we are at the end of the Shemitah year, are we not? Coming up on October 2nd. So then we enter into a Jubilee year, the 50th year. And I'm basing this on the Six-Day War from 1967. So 50 years would take us right to 2017. So that Jubilee, if I remember correctly, biblically, a jubilee is a reset, is it not? Financially, yeah. As well as whatever.
I think that's right.
So maybe there's more to this. Did you ever listen to her speech, Lagarde, or Lagrande, or however she pronounces it, where she kept referring to the number 7 and the magic number 7s, and she used the number several times?
Yeah, I did hear that.
Well, 49 is 7 times 7. And we're entering into the 70th Jubilee. So you've got at least 3 7s here, 777, right in our face, staring us right in the face. And if we are going into a reset, this would fall exactly where this guy claims it will fall. He said in his article, now Fritz Springmeier was his name, and what he claimed was that the rich men of the earth, the Illuminati, were not, absolutely not, going to allow Trump to ever take office. And that would be one of their primary motives for collapsing the economy in this reset. And you remember Obama, when asked about Trump being president, kind of snickered, said there's no way he'll ever be president. Hillary Clinton has said that more than once. There's no way he'll ever be president. So unless the hand of the Lord is upon this guy, which I believe it is, but I'm not sure how far it goes. I mean, he has exposed pretty much all the corruption in Washington. Not that the people themselves shouldn't have already figured it out, but maybe he has to do this to point out to the people, look, you were warned. If you couldn't figure it out mentally, here it is in your face. You're being told by one of them, actually, what's going on. So,
that is true.
What was your take on the debate? We didn't really get into that. I thought it was so one-sided on the part of the moderator. He kept going after Trump but never went after Hillary at all.
No, my take on it was it reminded me so much of the debate with Romney and Obama, where that actually the interference by the moderator basically cost Romney the election. And I think this was a trap for the same thing to happen, but I don't believe Trump stumbled enough in this one, and I don't think the cost is going to be that high. Stuart, I call him one of the wild cards, but he reminds me considerably of Benjamin Netanyahu, a fighter that will not give up and someone that knows all about the other side. He knows those folks. He knows how they work. Benjamin Netanyahu knows that, yet he fights for his country, and Trump appears to be trying to do the very same thing. Now, I very well remember what they have said, that he's never going to be the president, and maybe not, you know. Sometimes, you know, but you go back, and if you look at a biblical Cyrus of Persia, there were pretty bad odds against him doing what he did, too. However, there are times that I've seen the Lord take a hand, or basically what I call an intervention from heaven, and it changes the playing field, and sometimes Cyrus wins. So I don't know. I don't want to be one of those kind of people that say, well, because they say it can't be, I guess it just can't be. And because maybe I don't understand how all the scriptures in the end times play out exactly, I don't want to say something can't be when sometimes God will do something with Mary, and she winds up in the baguettes. Because, see, God delights to do the impossible. That's what the Bible says. God delights to do the impossible. And so I'm watching.
Well, you know, it's interesting you say that, because I think one of Trump's daughters said the same thing. The more impossible it is, the better my dad likes it. So that's basically the same thing. So we come back to the question, if God's hand is on Trump, we probably have a delay. And there have been visions of dreams, whatever you want to call them, where the Lord has told the people that were involved in it, my people are not ready. I'm going to give them just a little more time.
Yeah.
So maybe we do get some. I think we'll find out by fall which way this is going. Now, I did see an article by, I think it was, let's see. It says, Code Red Alert. Something huge is coming before the election. Infiltration of America is now completed ahead of the New World Order endgame. Not only is the Obama administration fast-tracking the importation of Syrian refugees into America, knowing that Islamic terrorists have infiltrated the refugee resettlement program, but now we have seven soldiers who are being trained in the U.S. as part of the International Military Education and Training Program under the Pentagon's Defense Security Cooperation Agency going AWOL. So where did they go to? And how many others? If they're going to set a trap, they're going to have to do it fairly soon. And an economic collapse would probably be the best way to at least cause the chaos. Or some big, and I do mean big, false flag. What do you think? I mean, they got to do something.
Well, I do know that not only does the Torah codes that Barry Rothman and others have run, and also many visions and dreams that people have had over the years, New York City has been basically a city with a target on it for a long time, for a nuclear event. And they made movies out of this, by the way. I mean, Peacemaker, remember that movie came out, and they were going to try to nuke the UN and the area around it in New York. And we keep hearing rumors and reports. Of course, there's lots of rumors out there, but there are reports that, it is a target. Now, would not a nuke going off in New York City, and I pray that it never happens, but there are reports. Would that not be a large event in our country? Would that not be a greater event than 9/11, even in the exact location, basically? But can you imagine the destruction?
Oh, it'd be horrendous.
And just think of the financial destruction and disruption if they just hit that one city.
Yeah, speaking about the financial destruction of a city, If New York were to be, how do we say, sort of eliminated, that would bring the whole financial system down, because everything is piped through New York, as far as I know. Now we have this Deutsche Bank, and Germany's Merkel said she's not going to bail them out. They're going to have to bail themselves out. Have you heard any more about that collapse?
I've watched Fox Business off and on during the day today, watching discussions on these, and they're very, very concerned about this situation with that German bank, the Dutch bank. And you're right, Merkel claims that there will not be an assistance from the government, her government. Now, the ones that seem to know what they're talking about are saying that the bubble, basically, that the Dutch bank has is greater in size than the one that we had, when one burst here with our financial institutions, Fannie Mae, Fannie Mac, blah, 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 blah. They're saying it's bigger in size, and it would be it would affect worldwide to some degree. Now, how much of that would affect America, I'm not sure. But they're concerned. I mean, they're very concerned, and it does not seem to be resolved. I mean, this is still going in for the moment as a real problem and a possible bubble that might burst and create worldwide, I guess you could say,
disaster. Well, yeah. I guess they're highly exposed to the derivative market. I mean, it's amazing. Anyway, here's what Gerald. Yeah, go ahead.
I was just going to say what you just said. They're highly, involved with the derivatives. And I said, absolutely, absolutely. And didn't Williams, the guy you know, didn't he warn about that considerably?
Yes, John Williams. Yeah, he's been very, very pessimistic about the economy. He says, and I heard Trump say that the actual unemployment rate is 23%. Not the 6.whatever% or 5-whatever they give. That's all garbage. It's not true at all. And they get around to that by doctoring up all of the stuff. But here's something that Salenti said. The market has basically priced in Hillary Clinton victory. He claims Randy Warren, chief investment officer at Warren Financial Service, said, if it's a big victory for Hillary, then no one will watch the next two debates, and the market is going to go back to business. If it's a big victory for Trump, then no one will watch the next two debates, and everyone is going to be freaking out, he says. So, and he also mentions these banks that are starting to go under. While the U.S. media remains reality show addicted, a European banking crisis now brews. For example, yesterday's Deutsche Bank shares plunged to 1980 lows. Commerce Bank announced it will cut 9,000 jobs and scrap all of its 2016 dividends. The World Trade Organization sharply reduced its 2016 forecast for global trade volume from 2.8% down to 1.7%. And I was reading an article also where they say that trucking, the purchase of big trucks, has dropped 30% over last year. Hmm. And they say that's probably another warning of an economic downturn. And then he says here there's another IMF warning. Further dampening the global economic outlook, the International Monetary Fund warned that advanced nations risk falling into a deflation trap triggered by broad-based phenomenon fed by slumping commodity prices and weak global demand. Too many products, not enough buyers. So the whole world is systematically coming apart, but I think this is going to hit the American people broadside.
Yeah, I think you're right. And let me mention something else too, Stuart. This may be a good time to talk about it for a few minutes. I know a lot of people are aware of the search that I did for the Armenian secret letter.
Yes.
And I wanted to mention this because of where we are, where America is, where Babylon is, et cetera, where the world is, because those that I know, a lot of people think I dropped that search. Well, I've never dropped it. I've just had a few leads. And recently, you know, and I'll tell people, you can still get that book, The Happiest People on Earth, by Dimas Shakarian, as told by John and Elizabeth Sherrill, from Amazon.com. You can get it for almost 25 cents. I mean, it's a neat book. It tells you a lot. It shares all the data, pretty much, of the secret letter, the Armenian letter. And basically what it told was the Armenian peoples, including Dimas Shakarian and his family, to go to America. They were even given a map to follow it, to go to the west coast of America, and where they've lived for many, many years. Now, with them, they brought a sealed letter from that same prophet that was to only be opened at a certain time of the end when conditions were just right in America. And what Dimas Shakarian shared in his book and on a number of talk radio shows was the fact that that he believed that this information was for the Armenian descendants of those that had gone to California from Russia and Armenia, and it would be a new time of persecution coming to America, and they were to leave via the information in this letter and go to a location shared in this letter somewhere else in the world to ride out these troubles and troublous times. And Dimas Shakarian said he also not only believed that, but did he believe that the writing in this letter, this secret letter, was also to be a heavenly directive to the Christians in America and some type of direction or announcement. Now, I have searched and searched, and that secret letter still remains a secret, and they've hidden it so good. But I wanted to tell people, and you know, we're at a time in history where if there is a word, it should have already came. Now, I know some of the Armenians have already fled to Paraguay, Uruguay, Ecuador, Chile, Peru, a lot of south of America. But mm-hmm. Now, I found the other day, I stumbled across Elizabeth Sherrill, who was one of the ones that wrote this book with Dimas, and she's rather elderly now, but I asked her if she had heard any more on the secret Armenian letter or knew any more about it. She emailed me back. She's not living in the U.S. anymore, but she emailed me back, country she's in, and said that this secret that they had tried their best to search out and to gain information and to locate this secret letter, and she says this is the biggest secret the world has ever seen. But she did say that she felt, because they couldn't ferret out the truth of the matter, that she wasn't too sure that the secret wasn't more important to the people holding the letter than the actual results or the data in the letter itself. That the secret had become such a secret that, you know, once you reveal it, it's not a secret anymore. You don't have anything but just a letter. But if it is to God's people, all we can do is just pray that the information does come out. But I wanted to share that I did talk to Elizabeth Sherrill, one of the ones that knew Dimas Shakarian very closely, and I have no more information at the moment, and she couldn't ferret it out either. And so us who really have searched, we haven't reached a dead end, but for now, no more information.
Sounds almost like the Fatima secret, the third Fatima secret. You know, nobody wants to release it. Nobody really knows what it is. Malachi Martin, he knew what it was, didn't he?
He said he wouldn't say. Yeah, he said he knew exactly what it was. And when he was telling this, he kept talking, and he said the Pope also knew, but that he would never tell the truth. And he did say that what the Pope, you know, let out to be these Fatima secret was absolutely not the secret. It was not the event. And he had clues. Malachi Martin continually said, if you'll remember, watch for something incoming. Watch for something in space. And, you know, I do believe he's talking about the destroyer. The brown dwarf and its entourage, I believe, was what, to some degree, was, if there is a Fatima event, I believe it would be coming from that direction.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. What's going on over there with Putin and Syria? And it seems to me like we're headed for a nuclear confrontation.
Well, it's rather dire. I listened to some of the generals talking today, and they're shocked that Secretary of State John Kerry has now announced that he's mad and Obama's mad because Russia and Assad literally are bombing the crud out of Aleppo. Matter of fact, let me read you this. Yahoo News yesterday says Putin
yes.
and Assad left Obama in the dust of the Aleppo endgame. Says Syrian government launches Aleppo ground attacks. And what has happened since the event of the Russian and Iranian troops and with the Syrians being killed by U.S.-led airstrikes, they have now done their own airstrikes on Aleppo. Russia's bombing, I mean continually bombing, and the Iranian and Syrian and Hezbollah troops are literally overtaking Aleppo. My understanding, as of this evening, probably three-quarters of Aleppo is now in Assad's hands, and that doesn't leave a lot. The only information is where are the rebels fleeing, which appears to be they're trying to flee to the Turkish-U.S. safety zone, I guess, that Turkey has established, you know, in northern Syria. You know, that is another contentious point, and will Putin let them get by with that? I don't know. It's becoming more and more serious. Matter of fact, Stuart, Putin threatened the U.K. today again with Russian nuclear-capable bombers.
Well, it says here nobody really knows how close World War III is. In other words, we don't realize how close we actually are. Is after the strategic missile forces were ordered to immediately deploy nuclear-armed ICBMs to the Federation's borders with the European Union in response to recordings that proved the Pentagon coordinated an unprovoked attack upon the Syrian Arab Army. He did say that if they wanted to play with nuclear matches, he was willing to do so. So have you heard any more about the possible war that they were calling the Golan War at all?
I've been in contact with Dan Gordon, and you also have got reports of a call-up. And they're certainly, according to the Debka file and a number of the news, intel news reports there in Israel, they are really ready, you know, not only on the northern border with the Golan, they're also sitting ready right now, ready for an influx of missiles and attacks from the Gaza region, the Gaza Strip, which would include probably ISIS forces and Hamas forces. And so it appears that the northern border is about to be really, really hot, and the southern border of Israel is about to be very, very hot. And they're expecting also attacks across the border of the Egyptian Sinai into Israel. So you can basically say Israel is totally surrounded, and they do know it's coming. I mean, it's not like Netanyahu doesn't know. He knows this is coming, and they're prepared as they can be. Now, we do know it's odd that none of this made it into mainstream media or the American media, but Israel has obtained considerable weaponry, and you and I have talked about that, you know, off the show.
Yes.
Some massive weaponry has come into Israel, and they are in possession of it, and they can fight now.
Did Dan say anything about, I know he's part of the reserves. Have they been called up or notified in any way?
He wouldn't write it, and he normally doesn't in an email because it's too public. But he did say, yes, Israel needs your prayers, and I do too. So that's an indication to me that it's about to go hot. He probably will be involved.
Yeah, they said the people that called said that they were even going after volunteers now if they could come over. So obviously they believe that this thing could go hot anytime.
I think that it can. I'll tell you what, Israel has a pretty good size force on its the Golan border, basically, too, that, you know, also includes, and this force, you know, that's on that that region there along the Golan include Russian tanks. So, you know, they could really be an incredible battle there. They've already been firing artillery into Israel, and Israel's been off and on taking out some of the Syrian army artillery position. So, you know, this could get hot. I'm really, really watching closely. You know, this is we're doing this show September the 28th, Wednesday evening, but I'm very, very watchful of like Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and on into Monday through this
yes.
weekend. That, you know, not only is it some special time in Israel, we're watching some very interesting movements militarily, and of course we look again. What's this situation with all the leadership, you know, the world's leadership wanting to go to the Perez funeral in Israel? I mean, I don't know. It's strange.
Yeah. Well, we're in that very, very, how do I say, late part of the last days before we enter into either the latter half of Daniel's 70th week or the first half. There's argument both ways about what lies ahead, but everybody seems to sense something is coming. It's not going to be good, and it's imminent. It's really close at hand. And what with the reset coming, a jubilee, a year, the 50th year, and then that ends in 2017, and the star sign of Revelation 12. So it appears that we are right at the edge, right at the cusp of some serious stuff going on. Any other news before we close out? What else do you have?
The only other thing is they're watching very closely movements in North Korea. And also remember that Japan recently scrambled jet fighters against a Chinese move of about 40 warplanes on their, you know, their Miyako Strait. So
yes.
We've got problems with that region, too.
Looks like the Armageddon script is getting ready to be played out. Trouble in the Koreas, trouble with Taiwan and the China Seas, trouble in the Balkans, and trouble in the Middle East. So what does it take? A misstep? Are we looking at missteps, or are we looking at a planned Psalm 2 war to just simply unseat Jesus Christ, God the Father, and the Holy Spirit, and bring in their new Luciferian religion out of the ashes of all this? What do you think?
Well, I think, Stuart, that there is a script, but I believe with some of what Putin's been warning, could there be a misstep a little early in the script?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't, like you've been saying right along, I think we got some wild cards. And when it comes right down to the tire hitting the road, they're going to have to look at people. They're going to have to look at their people and say, do I betray them for this or not? I guess that's where it sits. And like you say, you got Trump, you got Bibi, you've got Putin, and who knows who else that can throw a monkey wrench into the whole works and mess it up. Anyway, how do people reach you? We're about ready to close.
Yeah, the quickest way is LarryWTaylor.org. That's LarryWTaylor.org.
Okay, well, thanks a lot for coming on, Larry. This just seems like there's so much news. If we get a major event, we'll just, you know, put up a flash broadcast or something. Anyway, we appreciate everybody listening tonight, and I thank Larry again for coming on, and go to his website. He really posts a lot of news. So thanks, everybody, and good night.